Second question about this Chazal. You know, if we're talking about a big Talmud Chacham of the previous generation, we say he was such a big Talmud Chacham, he mamash never slept. We're talking about Yaakov Avinu. We know already that Yaakov Avinu was a big masmid. It says that he was Ishtam Yeshav Aholim. We know that he was a big masmid. Mistama, if Yaakov Avinu was a big masmid, Mistama, he was the biggest masmid possible to be. He was a tremendous masmid. Why does Chazal have to tell us, and it's really not Chazal, it's really a pasuk, by Yishkav Bamokei Mahu, a diyuk from a pasuk, that the Torah has to tell us what type of a masmid he was? He was the type of masmid that never slept. It's an interesting thing that it chooses, there's a lot of parts of his mother. There's a lot of parts, maybe he should have said he never ate. He could have said, obviously, never slept, never ate means a very, very small amount. He didn't sleep at Kriyas. Could have said he didn't eat. Could have said he didn't talk to people. It could have said that, you know, that he concentrated very hard. There's a lot of examples of Hasmada. One of the examples of Hasmada is not sleeping so much. Tremendous masmid and don't sleep so much. So the pasuk decides when it's talking about Yaakov's Hasmada to choose specifically the example, the idea that he didn't sleep. Sounds like there's more to this not sleeping than just a random example of his Hasmada. It's something significant about not sleeping. That's what we want to discover. And also, this is a very strange pasuk. It strikes me every year. Yaakov left Be'er Sheva, Yelech Haran, 14 years past the middle. Why doesn't the pasuk just say, Vayetzi Yaakov Be'er Sheva, Yelech LeBeis Midrash Shel Eiver? Vayetzi LeBeis Midrash Shel Eiver, Vayelech Harana. Why doesn't it say it? It's documenting Yaakov's travels. It's not. Is it a secret that he went to Beis Hashem? We're trying to keep it a secret? What's the secret? You have to wait till the diuk and a pasuk later on, beremez, that we find out a little secret that Yaakov was in Beis Hashem behavior? This was one of Yaakov's travels. When Avram traveled, the Torah keeps a secret where he traveled. Yitzchak went to Gerar. The Torah doesn't tell us. It says he went to Gerar. When Yaakov traveled to Lavan, it says he went to Lavan. He traveled back to Eretz Yisrael. It says he went back to Eretz Yisrael. One of Yaakov's travels, the Torah decides to keep it a little secret. Not going to say. Not beferish in the pasuk. If you learn Rashi, you find out this little secret that there was a little, as if the Torah was trying to do a cover up that really Yaakov learned in Beis Midrash Shem Ve'er. What's the big secret? Let the Torah say it. And this is a very, very important chinuch to know that the way the Torah, this is the second question I'm asking on that, along those lines, the way the Torah chooses to tell us something teaches us a lot about what the Torah is telling us. The Torah doesn't just teach us by the knowledge it gives us. The Torah teaches us also by the way that it presents the knowledge. And we'll see that the way that the Torah tells us about the Yudal Shana also teaches us a lot about the 14 years. And finally, it's very commendable that Yaakov wanted to go learn in Beis Midrash Shem Ve'Eiver. Why did he choose this moment of his life when he's, you know, running away from his brother before he's going to start a family, and he wasn't a young man, he was 63 when he left home, that before he gets married, before he starts a family, before he goes out of Eretz Yisrael, he has to go to yeshiva for 14 years. Like, I think he passed the yeshiva years already. It's time for him to start his life. What was the necessity? Before he goes to Lavan, he has to go learn in Beis Midrash Shem Ve'Eiver for 14 years. Do you think that sitting and learning in Yitzchak's house wasn't a good enough hachana to handle Lavan? He didn't have enough Kedusha and Torah, and from being a Yeshiva Holim, 63 years of Yaakov Avinu's Talmud Torah wasn't enough for him to handle Lavan. He needed 14 years in the Beis Midrash Shem. What was the need for this? Okay, so we're going to put these four questions on this Chazal on a shelf for a while, and we're going to get back to the basics of discussing the roles of the Avos. And the way that we're going to do that is through a very, very interesting Medrash. This Medrash is in the Bamidbar Rabbah. I don't have written down the exact Maramakim. If you want it, I'll give it to you after. The Medrash says like this. The Medrash says that Avram is compared to the sun. Yitzchak is compared to the moon. And Yaakov is compared to the stars. And we're already mature enough to know that the Chachamim were not poets. This is not poetry. This is not, it's so beautiful, Yaakov is the stars. It's not what it is. There's something inherent and something real and something meduktik about why Chazal decided that the way to describe Avram is the sun, and the way to describe Yitzchak is the moon, and the way to describe Yaakov is the stars. We're going to have to discover what that is. And the Medrash brings two psukim in Yeshaya that discuss what's going to be when Mashiach comes. Blessed love. The first one is Uboisha Hachama V'Chafra Halavana. The sun will be embarrassed, and the moon will be humiliated. Now, whatever that means, but there's only one thing that means it's not going to be embarrassed.
Where is this pasuk?
It's in Yeshaya. I don't remember. I don't have the exact marmakamis, but it's in Yeshaya. I can look it up after if you want. What? Uboisha Hachama V'Chafra Halavana. So now, if there's a sun, moon, and stars, and we know the sun and the moon are embarrassed, the stars are not embarrassed. Right? So that's why there's another pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Loyata Yevosh Yaakov. Yaakov will not be embarrassed. That fits beautifully, because Yaakov is connected to Chachavim. So the pasuk says that the sun and the moon will be embarrassed, but the stars won't be embarrassed. That's why the pasuk somewhere else in Yeshaya says, Le'ata Yevosh Yaakov, Le'ata Panav Yechvaru, his face won't whiten with humiliation. That's beautiful. Whatever it means, it's beautiful. But what does it mean? So the Medrash says that Avram will be embarrassed that he had a child, Yishmael. That's an embarrassment for him. Yitzchak will be embarrassed that he had a child, Esav. But Yaakov had all his 12 children were tzaddikim, gemurim, were pure tzaddikim, and therefore he won't be embarrassed. So when it comes time, blessed love, Avram will have something to be embarrassed about, Yitzchak will have something to be embarrassed about, but Yaakov will not have anything to be embarrassed about. So what we want to do now is to examine Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov carefully, and try to discover through careful examination of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov what the similarity is to the sun, the moon, and the stars. And the first thing to know is that the way that Hashem deals with the world could be divided into two parts. There's many, many layers and strands of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hanhaga with the world. But the way Hashem deals with the world can be divided simply into two parts. One of those parts would be Ha'oras Panim, when Hashem shows a shining face to the world. That's bracha, shefa, love, ribui, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's creation. That's one midah Hashem. And the other one is when Hashem holds back. Hester Panim, Hashem hides his face. When there's tzaras, when there's confusion, when there's a lack of creation, when there's limits. So Hashem has two ways that he deals with us. Sometimes he deals with us with ha'oras panim. Sometimes he deals with us with hester panim. We don't see him with such clarity. He's withholding that shefa. The ha'oras panim, the source of the ha'oras panim, is the midah of Hashem, which we know as the midah of chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, one of Hashem's midas is that he has a midah of chesed, a midah of kindness, a midah of giving. The Hester Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the Midah of Din. HaKadosh Baruch Hu also has a Midah of Din, a Midah of setting down Gevulim, of punishing, of not being Mashpia, not giving. The opposite of giving and being Mashpia. So Hashem has a Midah of giving and a Midah of withholding from giving. Those are the two Midahs of Hashem. Midas HaChesed, Midas HaDin. What does it say in the, for example, it says in the Torah that if someone is mezana with his sister, it says chesed who, the pasuk says. It's a chesed. Well, it's a chesed. It's a horrible avera. It's a chiv misa. It's a chesed? Yeah, because it's a distorted midas chesed. It's a distortion of chesed. But it's that midah, drawing close. Thank you very much. Now what's amazing is that in a person, these two midas of chesed and din are exact opposites of each other. The midah of drawing close and the midah of withdrawing, they're exact opposites of each other. And that's why you find that therefore one limits the other. In other words, the midas of chesed in me doesn't allow my midas of din to get out of control, and the midas of din in me, my ability to place limits, to step back, doesn't allow time he does a chesed to get out of control. Rav Tzadik says that let's say someone works very, 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 very hard to control his tivus, to control his distortion of midas achesed. He works very, very hard to withhold, to be menatzeach, to conquer his tivus for his nos or for arayus. He says, Rav Tzadik says, that person should watch out, because then the Yetzirah is going to come in a different form. He's going to come in a yanam of anger and ritzicha. Because as soon as you tame one part of yourself, the other part is, there's an imbalance here. The other part becomes stronger. So then the Yetzirah, as we've said many times, the Yetzirah is like a snake. Wherever you push him down, he comes up in another direction. So if you push down one side, the other side of the coin becomes an issue. And that's a struggle that a person has to keep balancing both opposite midas within him. The healthy person, the person who's miyushev, is a person who has the proper blend of din and chesed inside of him. He knows where to draw the line, he knows where to give, and he knows where to draw the line. We'll give some examples in a few minutes. An unbelievable thing, I don't want to... Those who know what's going on in the world a little bit, and I'm not saying that you should, will appreciate this insight of Rav Huttner. Rav Huttner says the following. Rav Huttner says, let's look at the distortion of chesed and the distortion of din. The distortion of chesed meaning znus, and the distortion of din meaning ritzicha. He says, you usually don't find, usually there are exceptions, even in Jewish history there are exceptions, but you usually don't find someone being mizana in order to kill. Usually not. There are some exceptions, but usually what you find is people killing in order to be mizana. Avram is afraid that he's going to get killed so that Pare can be mizana with Sarah. And that's Maisim B'chal Yom, that people kill in order to be able to be mizana. They'll kill a husband, they'll kill a wife. People will kill in order to be able to be mizana. That's what he says you find in the world, in the distortion. And if you know history, if you know what's going on in the world, if you know human nature, if you're aware of human nature and of the way the conquesting army always used to kill and then take the wives. The killing was for znus. The znus was not for killing. So Rav Huttner points out an interesting observation that we have these two distortions of these two midas, a distortion of din and a distortion of chesed, and most of the time the distortion of din serves the distortion of chesed. Not the opposite, not that this is a distortion of chesed served the distortion of din. Am I making myself clear? Is it clear? Nashi? So now, if that's true, Rav Huttner says, if that's true in the distortion of chesed and din, so that means that it's also true in the proper makom of chesed and din. That means that teaches us something about chesed and din. And that is, and we'll give examples in a minute, that din exists to serve chesed. Chesed does not exist to serve din. Let me give some examples now. The mabul, we've discussed this once, the mabul was rain. A lot of rain. It rained and rained and rained and rained and rained, and people died. The whole world was killed out. Geshem is a simen bracha. Geshem is chesed. Geshem is chesed. We daven for rain. Mashiv aruch, amayrin ha-geshem. Geshem is chesed. But it had devastating consequences, this chesed in the mabul. Why? Because in order for us to gain from the chesed of Geshem, Hashem also has to say, stop, I'm stopping to give. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu keeps giving and giving and giving, the chesed is not a chesed. It becomes dangerous. So every midas ha-chesed, in order to be a good midas ha-chesed, there has to be a gvul, a boundary to it. That's the midas ha-din. That's where Hashem says, okay, ad kan, the bracha stops here. When Hashem says the bracha stops here, that's what maintains the blessing of the bracha. Or else it becomes a curse. So the ground could be parched, and Klal Yisrael is begging Hashem for rain, and the rain starts falling. It's the biggest bracha, but if HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't stop that bracha, it's not a bracha anymore. It becomes dangerous. Another example.
How is that an example that din serves chesed?
Whenever we stop, whenever there's a stop to chesed, that's the midas ha-din. So this, the rain stopping, that's din. And it's serving the chesed. It's allowing the rain to be a bracha. Another example. These examples are from totally different areas, just to give you an idea of the concepts. There's a pasuk in Mishlei that says, "Chayseich shivtei, sainei b'nai." Someone who withholds his rod, someone who withholds his punishment, hates his son. So, what does that mean? What that means is that if a person never punishes or disciplines his children, so then he's hurting them. He's hurting. The biggest favor that a person can do to his children is that if they do something dangerous, either spiritually or physically dangerous, to discipline them. Children need the discipline in order to grow up, to understand what's right and what's wrong. Kid runs into the street. It's very, very dangerous. And the parent doesn't say a word about it, doesn't punish him. Chayseich shivtei, he holds back his punishment. He hates his child. A person loves his child, he'll punish him. But punishment is din. Punishment is din. You see that in order to do full chesed with your children, you have to do din. The din serves the chesed. The giving your kid a patch when he runs into the street, or however you punish them, when he runs into the street, is din that serves chesed. It serves the well-being and goodness and good fortune of the child. If he doesn't have that din, there's a lack of chesed. So again, we find din serving chesed. And finally, this gets a little bit deeper into the fabric of the Bria. If you don't get this 100%, keep it in you, think about it a little bit. Something it'll settle in over time. Every Bria, every creation of Hashem, everything that Hashem creates, that's Chesed. Olam Chesed Yibana. Creation is using the Midah of Chesed. It's building, creating, doing. Let's go back to very simple things that we know about the world. Lamashal. There's gases, there's liquids, and there's solids. So each one of those things has a milus and chesrinus. A solid, for example, can't take the form of a vessel that you pour it into. You pour a 2x4 into a bucket, it doesn't take the shape of the bucket. A solid can't take other shapes. But liquid, which can take whatever shape you pour it into, can't have its own defined shape. It's whatever you pour it into, that's the shape. It doesn't retain its own defined shape. So here you have a give and take. Well, solids have a mila that they can define their own shape, but they have a chisaron that if it's necessary, they can't take the shape of the keli it's put into. Liquids can take the shape of the keli it's put into, but they don't have their own defined shape. In other words, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created each thing in the Bria, He said yes to many things, and he said no to many things. And each thing in the Bria, each type of daimim, each type of animal, each type of certain animals, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was blessed them with the ability to fly. Certain animals do not have the ability to fly. Certain animals can hunt. Certain animals can't hunt. Certain animals could defend themselves. Certain animals are predators. Certain animals are not. Every animal, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed them with certain things to the exclusion of everything else. So when HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating the bear, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said no when he was in terms of the ability to fly. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was creating liquid, he said no in the ability to have its own shape. And everything in the Bria is chesed and din together. There's chesed in terms of what exists, and there's din in terms of the limitation, this and no more. If you think about it, I'm just throwing this out, I know this is not an easy thing to swallow so quickly, but if you think about it, you realize that it's only the combination of chesed and din that gives each thing in the Bria its own unique structure, and if it would just be chesed in the Bria without din, the whole world would just be one mass. It would be impossible to differentiate between two things. There wouldn't be water and land. HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, yes, water can take whatever shape, and also it can keep its own shape, and also it can go through walls, you know, like gas can go through objects, and you know, and also, you know, if HaKadosh Baruch Hu just says that everything could do everything, then there's no specific things in the Bria. Part of the defining of the Bria is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, no, this can't do this, and this can't do this, and this can't do this, and that's what gives us a Bria. So that's again, that's din serving chesed. If we didn't have that din, those gvulim, we didn't have those gvulim, we wouldn't have a world. We wouldn't have a world, we wouldn't have a future, we wouldn't have an asad lover. Which brings us to Yisurim, obviously. That in Rav Huttner's words, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is native, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does goodness to us and kindness to us. That's HaKadosh Baruch Hu showering upon us his midah of chesed. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us pain, gives us suffering, gives us difficulties, it's the same goal. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have goodness. It's the same goal. But for whatever reason, HaKadosh Baruch Hu felt like he couldn't go the straight way. He couldn't just give the chesed. So he does what Rav Huttner calls a karach sheni. He uses din to push you into the situation that he wants you to be in. For example, let's say a person, because of the din, becomes a more sensitive person, or becomes a bigger Oved Hashem, or learns how to daven better. When a person goes through a hard time, they learn how to daven. They learn how to be, you know, like they say, that, you know, that there's no atheist in a foxhole. You know, when a person's under threat of difficulty, say he learns how to be a bigger maimon, whatever it is, sometimes the midas hadin of HaKadosh Baruch Hu pushes us to be able to be in a better position, ultimately, to be makabel more tov, more goodness. When I learned this mimer in the Pachad Yitzchak, I was reminded of being in Savannah 2 years ago. You there? Is anybody here that was there? So we buy John Wogan's Chasana. And I had the honor of learning how to play pool for the first time in my life, and the last time also. There was a nursing home there with a very, very fancy pool table, and we had all the bakram were there, and they told me how to play pool. The kids are, make a long story short. So I learned a very interesting thing. I learned that if you want to hit a ball, there's two ways to hit it. You can either directly hit the ball, but if it's not going to hit it at the right angle, you can hit it against the wall. And that way it'll hit the ball at the right angle that you want. Is that right? That's mamish, that's mimer. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to do chesed. There's two ways he's going to do that chesed. Either direct, that's the midas chesed. But if it's not going to be the right angle, if you're not going to be in the right place, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu bounces it off the side. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the midas adin to push you into the right place. That's kayach rishon and kayach sheni. The din all serving the chesed. Okay. Adkan, the Yisraelis of Chesed and Din. Now let's get back to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Chazal tells us that Avram's hitznainus, Avram's midah, Avram's life was devoted to the midah of Chesed. Chesed and Ava. And we find that Avram was a machnas archim. Avram runs after the Archim. Avram is the native. Avram is the oyev, the beloved, and he's the beloved servant who loves his master. His relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu is one of Ava, and his midah is a midah of Chesed. That's Avram's focus, Chesed. And he injected into Klal Yisrael the midah of Chesed. That's what we have today, midah of Chesed, Klal Yisrael. But Chesed alone is not enough. We also have to, as we saw, chesed alone is out of control. So there also needs to be a midah of din, of yira, and that's Yitzchak. Yitzchak's avayda was to focus on the midah of yira. Awe, pachad from Hashem, fear of Hashem, and awe from Hashem. Shivisi Hashem lenegdi samit, always envisioning himself in front of Hashem, in front of the melech, like the first halach in Shulchan Aruch. That was Yitzchak's midah. A simon, if you want to see the difference between them is, if you think about it, there's a big difference between love and awe. A big difference between them. It's a very interesting thing. Love, the further you are from the person you love, the more you feel the love. Because you have gagu and you miss them. So if you love someone very much and then you have to leave, leaving makes you feel, unless you forget about them, but leaving makes you feel the love stronger. You feel that the cheshek for that bond even stronger. So gagu and love are strengthened by distance, very, very often at least. Awe is never strengthened by distance. The closer you are to that which you're in awe of or afraid of, the more you're going to feel the fear. If I would be standing in front of a king, So I would feel awe. When I'm in the waiting room, I'm a little bit less awed. When I'm not in this palace at all, I'm even less awed. When I'm home in my house, I don't feel that much awe at all. So there's a difference between Yira and Ava. Ava could be just as strong, if not stronger, when you're not in front of the Oyev. But Yira, you always have to be in front of the Oyev. And that's why Avram was allowed to travel outside Eretz Yisrael. And Yitzchak was not. Yitzchak had to always stay in front of Hashem. Yitzchak's midah, the midah of Yira, always in front of Hashem. Shchein ba'aretz asher aymar lecha, stay in this aretz. There are other diyukim in the psukim that bring out this point, but just to give you one idea. But we said that Avram brought in the midah of chesed and Yitzchak brought in the midah of din. But we said that chesed without din and din without chesed is not balanced. And that's why we find that Avram had a son who was Yishmael. Yishmael is the psilus, it's the bad side of chesed. As the Gemara says in Kedushin, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down 10 measures of znus into the world, and 9 of them the Arabs took. So the Arvim, the Yishmaelim, are Shtufei Zima. And since they're Shtufei Zima, they inherited the midah of chesed of Avram, it's just in a perverted and distorted way. And Yitzchak was the midah of Yira. Yitzchak had a son, Esav, who was a Reitzeach. He had to do it. Yitzchak was a Reitzeach. Esav was a murderer. So that's also the midah of Yira gone sour. Perverted midah of Yira is anger and Ritzicha. Esav's anger is a strong anger, and years and years and years later, his anger is still fresh. Esav is an angry man. So Avram has a distortion of chesed that comes out in the form of Yishmael, and Yitzchak has a distortion of Yira that comes out in the form of Esav. Now let's think about the sun and the moon. We'll get to the stars a little later. Avram's midah was chesed. Let's think about the difference between day and night. Day always represents clarity, good. If you have to divide day and night, it was always divided in terms of Tayyiv and Ra. Day always represents to us joy, simcha, clarity, love is day. Night is lonely, unclear, difficulty. People call difficult times a night in their life. It was like a night time. When people lived through the war, it was like a long night time. People refer to tzaras as night time. People refer to simchas as a new day. It was a new daybreak. You know, the sun rose again. Those are all terms that people use to talk about goodness, to talk about when there's good times. So Avram is nimshal to the sun, which shines by day, because he's the midah of chesed. Yitzchak is nimshal to the moon, which shines by night, which is mishamish balayla. That's when you feel the midah of din. That's when we feel that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's midah of din. But more than that, what did we say? We said that the midah of din is in just another way for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to bring us chesed. The midah of din serves the midah of chesed. And if you think about it, that's what the moon is. The moon is just a way to reflect the light of the sun. The moon is an empty keli that reflects the light of the sun. That's exactly the way we describe the relationship between chesed and din. That din, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't have any desire in din in and of by itself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses din in order to put us into position to be able to accept the greatest chesed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses the moon to shine the light of the sun. That's the relationship, chesed and din, chama and levana. We said before that this midah, these two midahs, chesed and din, Ava and Yira, are two mutually exclusive. They're opposites of each other. As a matter of fact, they limit each other. They're opposites of each other. And that's the way it is in the world. The way it is in the world is that whenever you have Ava and Yira they cancel out each other. Ava is a stira to Yira, Yira is a stira to Ava. There's a lack of awe where there's a lot of love. There's a lack of love where there's a lot of awe. They're opposite feelings. In the end of Parshas Tolda, it says that Esau wanted to get married, so he married the daughter of Yishmael. But it doesn't call her just the daughter of Yishmael. It calls her also the sister of Nevoyes. The daughter of Yishmael, the sister of Nevoyes. So Rashi brings the kasha, if she's the daughter of Yishmael, obviously she's the sister of Nevoyes. Nevoyes was the son of Yishmael. You don't have to tell me all her, her whole yichas right now. If she's the daughter of Yishmael, she's the sister of Nevoyes. So Rashi says, it comes to teach you that when Esav took the daughter of Yishmael, Yishmael died. Before Esav could marry her, Yishmael died. So my Rosh Hashiva taught us that this is what happens when din and chesed, the perverted din and the perverted chesed, try to bond together. It's impossible. They're two opposites. Yishmael and Esav are coming from two opposite midas. As Esav tries to bond with Yishmael, Yishmael dies. Yishmael, the kaychas are limited. They can't contain each other. He told this to us at the, it's Nageya now and what's going on in the world also. He told us this at the time that Clinton had Arafat in the White House, and that tkufa. And he told us that if we think that Esav is going to succeed in having a relationship with Yishmael, we should just know that it's not going to work out that way. And sure enough, the peace talks fell apart very, very shortly afterwards. It was incredible. And he said it with such confidence. This is what the Torah says. He says, the Torah says it can't happen. Yishmael dies. And sure, he said, I still remember he was sitting by the shalshas, and he said, it's not going to be. It was incredible. There's no way to know. And sure enough, a few weeks later, the peace talks completely fell apart. Arafat, he was offered the world and gave it all up, and everything fell apart. And we're in the sorry state we are today. Esav and Yishmael are two opposites, they can't combine. The distorted Ava and the distorted Yira can't mix. They don't mix. You don't want to move out now? Donnie, it's clear?
Okay.
All of that is only true when you're talking about the Goyish world. All of that is only true by Goyim. By Yidden, unbelievably enough, Ava and Yira can combine. And I'm going to read you the Rabbeinu Yoina and Avos, the beginning of the fifth parak of Brachas. The beginning of the fifth parak of Brachas, the Mishnah over there talks about that Ein Einim Lehispal Elamitach Kovid Roish, and the Gemara talks about that you have to daven with Yira, and you also have to daven with Simcha. With Simcha and Yira together, which seem to be a stira. Simcha meaning out of Ava. And Rabbeinu Yonah says like this. He says, "She'afal pisha eitzel basar v'dam." Even though by regular olam hazeh, ha'yira v'ha'simcha heim davar v'hefeichay. Yira and simcha are one thing and the opposite. It's they're opposites of each other. Davar v'hefeichay. She'b'shah she'ha'odah mefachin mezulasi. When someone's afraid of somebody else, who oimed nirsa, he stands back. V'doyeg, and he worries. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu einenu kein. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not that way. Adarab, when it comes to our relationship with Hashem, it's all different. Adarab, he says, the opposite is true. The exact opposite is true. Kishaha Adam is bainin bigdulasi. When a person is thoughtful, when a person thinks about the godless of Hashem, v'yorein mipanov, and he has awe from Hashem, yismach v'yogil be'oysa yira. He then rejoices in his fear. Why? Because he's happy about the awe. Because he knows that this awe is encouraging him to be mekayim mitzvos. And he rejoices in the opportunity that he has to become close to Hashem. And he brings the stira, an unbelievable stira, that David HaMelech in one place said, Ivdu as Hashem b'yira, and another place he said, Ivdu as Hashem b'simcha. And Tanit Veliyo brings this, and Tanit Veliyo says, in b'simcha, So how could it be Be'ira? If it's Be'ira, how could it be Be'simcha? And he says, Elo Amar David HaMelech, Samachti mitoich yirasi v'yareisi mitoich simchasi. That as I realize the godless of Hashem, like, Hashem is incredible. Hashem's godless is, Hashem's gvura, Hashem's god. You're only made near stuff from the gvura of Hashem. Like, and that's Avinu Avarachama, that's our Hashem. That's our Hashem, and it's because of this awe, and it's because of this godless that I'm going to be encouraged to be a good servant to Him. And so much schar, and so much Olam Haba, and so much Ava, and so much Dveikus could come out from my reacting properly to the awe of Hashem. So the awe itself becomes a cause for Simcha. And then the Simcha becomes a reason for more awe, because as I become closer to Hashem, I recognize even more how great He is. With HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the closer I get, the more I realize He's godless. Not like by some people, that the closer you get, the more you realize their chesreinus. HaKadosh Baruch Hu einenu kein. The closer you get, the more you realize they're godless. The more you realize HaKadosh Baruch Hu's greatness, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's awe. So it's a cycle of Yoresi Mitaych Simchasi and Samachti Mitaych Yerasi. I have this Yira, and that motivates me to draw, to listen to the Rabbi Nishal Olam and to be Oyvid improperly, which brings me closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, creates a greater Simcha and a greater Ava, a greater Schar. That Simcha and Yira, by Avodas Hashem, Simcha and Yira are not a steer to each other. They could become one, they're one feeling together. I'm going to give an example or two in a few minutes. But they become one chativa achas of Avodas Hashem.
Together, it's just you're happy and then you get scared. And you're happy and then you get scared.
Give me a few minutes. He's not talking about a process of time. He's talking about even at the same time. But I'll explain. I'll just try to describe the feeling again a little bit soon. But
what
do you
call that?
I just call it. It means like it becomes one thing, one feeling. One feeling of Ava and Yira combined together. This is the Midah of Yaakov Avinu. This is what Yaakov Avinu told us. This is why Yaakov Avinu didn't have an Esav or a Yishmael come out of him. Because Yaakov Avinu had this molding together, this bringing together the Midah of Ava and the Midah of Yira in perfect harmony in a way that wasn't a steer to each other. Chazal say on the pasuk that Yaakov was a Yoshev Oyhalim, Chazal say, Be'ohaloy shall Avram u'be'ohaloy shall. Everyone knows that it's Oyhalim, it's Shem Be'Aver, that's the people, that's what Rashi says. When he says it was Yoshev Oyhalim, he means Be'ohaloy shall Shem, Be'ohaloy shall Aver. But Chazal bring also that Yaakov was Yoshev Oyhalim, Be'ohaloy shall Avram u'be'ohaloy shall Yitzchak. Yaakov was a Talmud of Avram, he was a Talmud of the Midas HaChesed, and he was a Talmud of Yitzchak, he was a Talmud of the Midas HaDin, and he was able to combine them into a third thing. The third thing being Ava and Yira combined and intertwined together to create that Midah, that's the Midas HaEmes of Yaakov, that Midah of Yaakov, that's Ava and Yira together. Now this Nashi, you were reaching something that almost becomes impossible to describe in words. Almost impossible to describe in words. This type of feeling, it's a unique thing that only Yidden have, and Goyim don't even have such a thing at all. By Goyim it would be the way you're saying. By Goyim it would be this awe, and then it gives away to Simcha, and then it gives away to awe. The awe and the Simcha being bechlal not a steer to each other, is something that only Yidden could taste, and I don't even know if I have the words to describe it, but I'll try to describe. I'll describe to you, there's one time of the year that I feel this the strongest. And I'll try to describe that time of the year for a minute, even though it's not this time of year. And then you'll maybe be able to at least taste, I can't explain it to you, but I can give you the taste, of what this means. It's Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur comes and we daven in Shachris, and then we're oiled to a higher Madrega, and we daven Musaf, and then even a higher Madrega, we daven Mincha, and then we go off into Madregas that we mamish don't have the whole year, we daven Shemoneh Esrei, it doesn't exist the rest of the year, we daven Ne'ilah. It's mamish the height of Eima V'Yira, and our whole life is at stake, and our whole future is at stake. It's Yom Kippur. And we're trying to take advantage of those last few minutes by the Ne'ilas HaSha'arim to beg from the Melech Malchi Amlachim, to beg for Chaim, to beg for Bracha, to beg for Yeshuas, to beg that the Tzaras should stop. We're trying to beg, we're trying to draw a little closer. And it's Pachad Pchadim, we've been fasting for hours and hours, and it's Pachad Pchadim. And then we daven Ne'ilah, then we have the Slichas at the end of, after Ne'ilah, And then we start to call out Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim. This is Hashem Hu Elokim of Yidden, that they're fasting for 26 hours and focusing on the Ribbono Shel Olam. This is the greatest awe. The greatest awe. That's Yira. That's Yira. And then, from one second to the next, they blow a shofar, the Shana Habavi Yerushalayim, and the way we do here in Yeshiva, they start to sing. They start to sing a song. And everyone's still wearing their kittels and talesim, still from the morning, and everyone still has on them the sweat of that ne'ila, and they're still fasting, but they're already heading towards the sukkahs, towards the matzah v'seinu, towards the simchas Torah. They're ready batuach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did a nes for them, sh'asu lahem nes. The awe and the simcha merge together into one feeling that's an impossible thing to capture at other times of the year. It's the aima of being oimed lefnei hamelech with the joy of the zchus of being oimed lefnei hamelech. It's almost like looking at the melech and seeing this melech is so powerful and he's my father. That feeling, the aima and the yira and the simcha combining mamish into one feeling, that each one inspires the other one and doesn't take away at all. Each one becomes a catalyst for the other. That's the, I'm not putting it in words, I'm just describing to you what type of a thing we're talking about. When we say Simcha and Yira combined together, the mamish not a stira. Anybody who's danced or sang on a Matzah Yom Kippur knows there's no limiting the Simcha because of the Yira. The Simcha is not limited because of the awe. And the awe is not limited because of the Simcha. It's an incredible thing. I did not have such a thing. We're not any less happy because we feel awe. And we're not any less awed because we feel happy. It's not a goyim. Goyim don't have a tefisa. By goyim, it's not chilled out. It's not fully happy because I'm in awe now. So I haven't fully let go. Or I'm not in full awe because I'm feeling happy. Goyim don't understand the idea that there could be no gvul to the awe and no gvul to the simcha at exactly the same time. On Purim, people get to become shikr. And people do say all kinds of silly things. But when Gedolei Olam become shikr and they sit by a Purim Suda, all kinds of pearls of wisdom and yesaidus about the Briya come out. I want to just read you a couple of lines from a song that Rabbanan used to sing on Purim that he made up. And I'm not going to read the parts that I'm going to get at the Purim, maybe we'll do that Purim time. But I think that you'll, at this point, I think that you're ready right now to taste the beauty of a song from Rabbanan. So even though it's not Purim time, I'm going to read it anyway. I don't know the tune to it. But I'll just read the poem and I'll translate it. Simcha mit yira geflachten in einem, achutz ba yidden nishda ba kenem. Simcha and yira intertwined together, just by yidden, it doesn't exist by anybody else. V'gilu bir'oda izdach in avoida an ikr, v'prat nochaint ven medarv zayn shikr. V'gilu bir'oda is an ikr in avoida, especially today when we have to be shikr. In other words, when we're increasing our simcha beyond gvul, we have to also know it's v'gilu bir'oda, it's together with the yira. Fun yira der tzitter, fun simcha der flam, zusammen bashafen dem yiddishen tam. From yira the shiver, from simcha the flame, together creating the flavor of a yid, the yiddish flavor. When od der tam is the chtaka di zach, was halt uns ständig, lebedig und wach. And this tam is taka, is actually the thing, is really the thing that keeps us standing, alive and fresh. This is our freshness, this is our lebedigkeit. Then he talks about the lebedigkeit of a yid. Zol zayn azoy lebedik, unzer jeder minut, azoy mezolir zu schneiden, zol rinnen von ihr blut. He says, our every minute should be so alive, that today should be so alive that if we would cut it, it would run with blood. That's it. Then he goes into Purim. But this is my, I think this is exactly what we're just talking about. Simcha mit yira geflachten in einem. Simcha yira together. Achutz by Yidden nishda by Kenem. Besides for Yidden, nobody else has such a thing. That's Yaakov Avinu's Midah. Yaakov Avinu being able to tear down the mechitza between Ava and Yira and be able to create one avoida where there's not a stira between the two. Ahem. is out. This is a strong limud in and of by itself. It doesn't lead us to the answer to our questions yet, but I think it's important to absorb this lesson. We shouldn't have goyish ideas. We shouldn't have goyish ideas. It comes from Chastar, it comes from Purim, it comes from sometimes Shabbos, it comes from sometimes by a chasana. That hefkerus will add to the simcha. By Yidden, it's not that way. By Yidden, it's dafka simcha with yira that makes it bilti gvul, because it makes it not this worldly. It makes it olam habadik a simcha, makes it a uniquely Yiddish a simcha. When there's simcha together with I'm standing in front of Hashem. Not, if I could just stop thinking about that, I'm standing in front of Hashem, then I could really have simcha. That's a goyish a simcha. Okay, now let's put this on the shelf for a minute. I'll get back to it in a few minutes. It says in Shulchan Aruch, Melchus Kriya Shema. It says that it's brought to Gemara, it's a Gemara Brachas. It says that in the morning, you should be mazke midas yoyim ba layla, and midas layla ba yoyim. Which means that in the morning, when you daven in the morning, you should mention the night. And when you daven at night, you should mention the morning. And we do that. In the morning, we say yoytzer or ruborei choyshech. We mention night in the morning. And at night, we say hamavre yoyim umevi layla. We talk about the day. So in the morning we mention the night, and at night we mention the day. Why? So the Mechaber says this is to uproot, this is to discourage the Apikursim who say that the Hashem that created day could not have created night. That's what the Apikursim say. What a funny kind of Apikursis. Why couldn't the Hashem created day created night? At night the sun is not shining, it's night. So what? The answer is, this is something that philosophers have struggled with. This gets into part some of our discussion. Something that our philosophers, not our philosophers, something that philosophers for thousands of years have struggled with. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Hashem of Tov. Kol ma David Rechmanu L'tav Avi. Everything Hashem does is L'tav. My wife was a speech therapist, was telling me I made a big mistake. I should have been sipping water the whole time. I have a cough, and eventually you keep talking, it dries out, and it's very hard to get it rehydrated. We'll try to make it through. Hashem is a Hashem of good. And if Hashem is a Hashem of good, that means it's the greatest good shayach. Kulei toiv. Only goodness and kindness. Yet, there's evil in the world. There's ra, there's yetzahara, there's a satan, there's malachamavas, there's tzaras, there's yisurim, there's darkness. It also exists in the world. Could that have come from the same Hashem? And the MS is that if you're a little bit knowledgeable, and I don't know if I should be the one to educate you, but if you're a little bit knowledgeable, even about the monotheistic religions, Christianity, Lamashal, does not hold that bad comes from Hashem, from God. They hold that there are, without getting into details, there are angels, there are other things in their Krumla Savaris. There are other things besides from Hashem that battle the goodness of Hashem. Hashem has enemies out there. Which is foolish, but the reason why they say such a foolish thing is because of a big kasha. Right? How could bad come from Hashem? I recently read somewhere, I wish I remembered, I thought it was in the stuff that you gave me. I cannot remember where I read this recently. That there's a group of Christians that are trying to modernize the Christian prayers, make them more modern. And there's something in Christianity, a certain prayer, that asks God not to lead us into temptation. such a, there's a Christian prayer, that not to lead us into temptation. And they said that that's ridiculous. God doesn't lead us into temptation. The evil inclination leads us into temptation. God is trying to lead us towards Him. It's ridiculous. They change it. And they say in the article that I read that the source of this is an archaic Jewish tradition, that Jews have this crazy idea that God Himself leads people to temptation. And they're right. That is what we hold. The Yetzer Hara doesn't have a mind of his own. The Yetzer Hara is a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu leads us into temptation, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu tries to lead us away from temptation. It's one Hashem Echad. Tzaras and Toiv come from the same Hashem. Yoim and Laila come from the same Hashem. That's what the Apikorsim, these Apikorsim, the smart Apikorsim, they do not believe that the God of darkness, of tragedy, of confusion, of loneliness, of difficulty, could be the same, created by the same God of brightness, of clarity, of bracha, of shefa. They don't believe it. And they have a strong point. Their Baruch Hashem is Kulay Toiv. What's the answer? The answer is, the Baruch Hashem is Kulay Toiv. We're the blind ones. At night, when it's tzaris, the Baruch Hashem is giving the same chesed. We're not able to chapel, that's also chesed. If it was true that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's din was not really chesed in disguise, they would have a very strong point. How could that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? That's Kulay Toiv. But the MS is, even though we don't have a tfisa, we don't have an understanding of it, but the reality is that every din and every chayshach is really and is really chesed in disguise. We just don't understand how. So as a hakdama to Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad, Hashem Echad is only one Hashem, the hakdama to that is Yoytzer Or, Baruch Chayshach, the same Hashem created Or and Chayshach, or Hamar V'Yoyim, or Mevi Loilo, it's in Birchas Kriyashma. The hakdama to Kriyashma. The hakdama to Kriyashma is setting the stage for us announcing the Achdus of Hashem. With this we understand, Gevaldik, everyone has started in Mishneh Berurah. Yeah, everyone gets dropped off in a different place. Everyone is taught. One of the first things you learn in Mishneh Berurah. One of the first things you learn in Mishneh Berurah is Mishneh Berurah brings a shlo, shlo HaKadosh. He doesn't. It's not a very common thing. He brings a shlo HaKadosh that says that it's a beautiful, beautiful minig to be mechaber yoyim v'layla with Talmud Torah. He knows that if someone could start learning in the morning while it's still dark, and learn until it's light outside, or start learning, which we do every day by Second Seder, to start learning when it's light. It's a beautiful schus that we have in the winter. To start learning when it's light, and then to learn until it's dark, that's a tremendous inyan, the Shlach says. To be mechaber yom v'layla b'talmud Torah. What's the inyan? The inyan is that when I'm sitting down and it's light outside, and I'm starting to learn Torah, I'm serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when it turns dark, I don't change my service. I'm still serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I show that night and day could change, but my relationship with Hashem does not change. So I can start learning when it's dark, and when it turns light, I'm still doing the same thing. I can start learning when it's light, and it turns dark, and I'm still doing the same thing. That's Pshat and the Shlach, that it's a chashuv thing to be mechaber yom v'layla b'talmud Torah. It's brought down b'shem the Gra, that it's not really true that by day there's light, and by night there's darkness. It's not really true. Really, it's amazing Gra. Really, I saw it brought down in a very reliable place, and I looked it up. It was hard for me to find in that place, but I'm saying I just saw it from the place that it's brought down. It's not true that by day it's light and by night it's dark. Rather, the real truth is that by day it's light and by night it's lighter. It's so bright that a human being can't see that brightness. That's what the girl says. Sounds unbelievable. Just like you blow a whistle so it has a certain pitch and you could hear it, but there are certain whistles that have a pitch that's so high that a human being can't hear it. It's not that there's no sound, it's such a high sound that the human ear can't be tight with it. Dogs could hear it. Right? This, with sound.
Is that what makes the darkness?
He says, we'll talk about it after, but he says it's so bright that the eyes of people are huku besanverim. He says, Yaakov doesn't sleep for 14 years because there's no difference between Yom and Laila. Hine lo yonam v'lo yishan shayim Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't go to sleep. He's mechaber Yom v'Laila b'talmud Torah, literally. Lo yonam v'lo yishan shayim Yisrael. Yaakov treats Yoim and treats Lila the same. There's no mocking for going to sleep. We go to sleep at night. We're not active. We're not involved. We're not giving. It's withdrawing. Yaakov even doesn't go to sleep at night when he's there, because the whole reason for his being there is to teach himself, is to ingrain in himself that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is just as alert in the Choshech as he is in the Yoim, in the Ur. And that's why it's Beremes. Because the whole purpose of Yaakov going to Shem Ve'ever is to say that even though on the surface it seems like the Rabbeinu Shalom is not there, but if you look beneath the surface, you'll find the Rabbeinu Shalom. Keil Elyon. So that etzem parsha of him learning the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu when it's not apparent, is not apparent in the Torah. It's Beremiza. It's under the surface. You have to read Vayishka b'mokimu. You have to darshan it. It's not simple. It says Vayetze Yaakov b'Bereshev Vayelachor. It doesn't say it. It's not on the surface. On the surface, Yaakov didn't go to Shem Ve'ever. Under the surface, when you look deeper, then you see Yaakov was by Shem Ve'ever. Because that's what he was doing by Shem Ve'ever. He was saying, on the surface, it seems like it's nighttime. On the surface, it seems like Hashem is sleeping. You have to look under the surface. Hine lo yonam v'lo yishan Shem Yisrael. Which brings us now to our first question of why do we learn about these 14 years from the Misa of Yishmael? If you follow the Cheshbon of this Chabura, I know it's a bit long, if you follow through the Cheshbon, Yishmael died because Esav and Yishmael can't combine. That's why Yishmael died then. The Ava and Yira by Goyim can't combine. But Yaakov Avinu was able to make Ava and Yira combine. And that's why he was zeicher to the limud of Yudalat Shonim and Shem Ve'ever, where he was able to learn the chesed and din, not a stira to each other. Tani, not following? Again, Yishmael died because Esav and Yishmael can't combine. Why can't Esav and Yishmael combine? Because chesed and din are two stiras. They can't combine together. Right? Now Yaakov Avinu was able to make them combine, because in Kedusha, chesed and din do combine. Now, Mida Keneged Mida, that Yaakov was able to make, Chesed and Din, combine in his own life, HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught him how HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Midas HaDin and Midas HaChesed are not a steer to each other. So Yaakov Avinu being able to be by Shem Ve'ever is a direct contrast to Yishmael not being able to stay alive when Esav tries to marry into his family. So the Pasuk of Misas Yishmael is what gives us the clue that Yaakov spent 14 years by Shem Ve'ever. Now should you follow that? I think so. I don't want to get into it now. I think it's late enough. Besides for the first lesson, I think it's so important of understanding what Yiddish Simcha is. I think there's another lesson from this part of the Chabur, and we'll end with that. And you see from here, and the Rav Dessler talks about this by Rikas in different parts of the Bechtem Elio, you can have two people in a Golos, and one of them is more in Golos than the other. Right, Yaakov is not in Golos. He's in Mitzrayim, but Yechi Yaakov is in Mitzrayim. He's not in Golos. And he actually says certain people, and he says, it's almost incredible, in the third chayot, the Michtam Elio, he means that there were certain people that lived in this world, and they lived, he says, Rabbi Akiva was living in us, love it. He did not live in this world. He was not in Golos. Rabbi Akiva was not in Golos. An amazing thing. But that's a tremendous chizuk. Because people think that when certain matzavim happen, or certain difficult times happen, or certain difficult things happen, people think they're stuck within the matzav. Because you can't change those things. You're stuck within the matzav. That's not true. You see from Yaakov Avinu, and I'm not saying that we're on the Madrigal of Yaakov Avinu, but you see that there's such a thing that if I could develop a closeness to Hashem, a trusting Hashem, a kesher to Ruchnius, a kesher to Torah, I could make myself less in Golos, in my own Golos. Not every time is the Yeshua from a matzav. It's a very important yisoy. Not every time being delivered from a matzav means that the matzav goes away. Sometimes being delivered from a matzav is being given the strength to handle the matzav. That's also a Yeshua. is being given the insight to be able to be alive, to be able to be simchadik in the matzah. One person is going through a difficult situation, another person is going through the same difficult situation, but he knows how to be besimcha, or he knows how to daven, or he knows how to continue learning, or he knows how to keep his values right. They're both going through the same matzah, but are they really both going through the same matzah? Absolutely not. So when we daven to Hashem to take us out of difficult matzavim, or to help us with our yetzaharas, with temptations, with all the different things to help us with our learning, with our shtayim, all the different things that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us with, we have to realize that not always is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu will help by giving us physical strength that we didn't have before, or by taking the matzav away, or by making things not difficult anymore. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps by giving us the perspective of being able to handle it in a better way. A new light, a new cook. By Yechi Yaakov, the Eretz Mitzrayim. Yaakov didn't have to leave Mitzrayim to leave Mitzrayim. He just had to develop a closeness to Hashem that allowed him to be by Yechi Yaakov, the Eretz Mitzrayim. What did